Hello and welcome back to another episode of Techsplaining. This is Rob Foster, and I am here with Brett Lonsdale, Mark Rackley, and Stephanie Donahue. And Techsplaining, again, is a podcast where we break down technology trends and help you understand how they affect your business. So hello, everyone, again. It's a Friday night here when we're doing this recording. So how's everybody doing?
Not bad for a Friday night. Just wild and crazy.
It is.
Pretty good here. I'm getting set to head back to the UK, so yeah, we'll be packing our things here shortly and heading back tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm all right. You know, I'm glad it's Friday, ready for the weekend.
Yeah. It's I know it's been beautiful here. Myself and my youngest are going camping this weekend. So it's supposed to be down in the high 50s Fahrenheit, and I think a high's in the low 80s. So we're looking forward to getting out in the woods.
Oh wow, that's changed quite a bit. I see in Europe, must have been a way that on the news today, it's saying France and Spain, Italy, and so on, they've all been getting 47 degrees Celsius, which is about 116 Fahrenheit.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Are things melting over there like they do in the UK?
And it says that there's been like red alerts everywhere all over Europe. And then the last paragraph of this article I was reading after getting my hopes up was, and in the UK, it's 20 degrees Celsius and there's no warnings.
Wow.
Do the European rednecks fry eggs on the concrete too?
Are there European rednecks? Surely not. Y'all are more sophisticated. Well, I guess so let's jump right into our topic here now. So our topic is Microsoft Teams. And what is it? Anybody want to give an intro kind of what is Microsoft Teams?
This has Stephanie written all over it.
It does.
Well, so I kind of thought through this because what was it when we first heard about it? And I think the first thing I heard was it was a Slack killer. And I think what we've come to realize is that it's so much more than just, a Slack competitor. It's really what you can use to bring the entire Office 365 stack into one place. So, it's a client desktop application tool with tabs, but those tabs give you access into a number of different applications. So you have a tab with chat in it, which is kind of a conversation tool. You've got tabs for things like OneNote, a document library, all of that back-ended into SharePoint. But then those tabs can do other really cool things too, and I don't want to give too much away for what we're going to get into here, but each of those areas in those tabs can do a lot of really cool things, from connecting different websites to power apps, all kinds of cool stuff. So I think it's kind of hard to explain without really showing someone, but I see it as something that connects 365 together.
Yeah, it definitely brings the whole suite together. And what we found is kind of a just at my work, and we're using it quite extensively as well, is that just as an example in a real business world scenario, previously the way we would work is we would have a team of people working on something, right? You were trying to create a piece of software or deliver something for a client or whatever that may be. And say it starts out as three people. Okay, well then we need to add four more people, right? So then we add 10 more people or whatever. And previously, before the Teams world, all of the conversations we would have as a team would be stuck in emails, right? So mm-hmm. we would be emailing back and forth, and we would pass documents, and some documents, a lot of documents would still live in SharePoint, but all of the conversations about those documents would be stuck in email. So when a new person joined the team, we had to hopefully forward them all the emails to catch them up, or just kind of catch them up as they went along. And so what we're seeing in Teams as a difference is that all of those conversations as we're working on a typical deliverable are captured inside of Teams. So when somebody new comes on board, they can read all of that history and have all of that stuff right at their fingertips, and they can catch up really quickly. So actually onboarding new team members for us has become a much more seamless process than having to forward a bunch of emails and have a bunch of meetings and all this kind of stuff. We just add them to the team and they're up to speed.
We've had exactly the same thing happening in our organization, where for years now we've been trying to get people to break away from using emails. And I'm the techie guys, that they've been fine. You know, we anybody that's like a developer or working in tech support, they'll use whatever technology we say, you know, let's use this, and they'll start using it. But when we're talking about salespeople and admin staff and so on, they've not got to grips with Yammer. They've not got grips to grips with using any sort of instant messaging tool or anything like that. It's always been coming down to email. And I think Teams has been the first and the only product where they actually want to use it. we've demonstrated it, said how it could be used, and now they're actually coming to us and saying, hey, I set up this Teams site, and we're using that for this discussion or whatever. And it's been really handy from that point of view.
Yeah, and we're finding that when we introduce clients to Office 365 and just the barrage of applications to choose from there, or when we start talking about SharePoint, we've been finding more and more and more that Teams is the gateway drug into Office 365. This is something that you can easily light up, that you don't have to have any technical ability to create a new Teams. You can just create it and go. And you know, people start having conversations. They start adding tabs to start adding like their notes and planner. Like Teams and Planner are like crack to some people when they're out there using it. And it's amazing how excited they get about it. So I think I found that if you're trying to find a champion in your organization to start pushing Office 365 on, get them into Teams, because they take to it amazingly well, and we've been blown away by the way some clients have adopted it.
We actually had one customer demo to us the other day. We had got them introduced, and they demoed back to us and said, look at all the cool stuff we did. And that's not something we see typically in SharePoint. So it's an interesting shift to watch them pick it up so quickly.
Yeah, she said it fundamentally changed the way they worked.
Wow, that's huge. How are they? Are they using mostly the desktop app, the mobile app, the web app? How are they actually interacting with Teams?
So they're using mostly the desktop app. They've got some conditional access turned on, so they can't actually use them on their mobile devices yet. And so they're kind of working through how they want to handle that. But it's mostly a desktop app. And what they have is they have small groups that work together that need to basically stay up to date on the status of projects, gather data together to put it into their other systems so that they can notify management about the status of projects. They're starting to use Planner to track some of the tasks they're working on. And this one person that showed us how to use it, she loves it so much that she created her own team site that she calls it Me, Myself, and I, where she does all of her work in there every day, and she's hooked on it.
Huh. Yeah, I think that's the power that we're seeing in Teams, is that it's nothing like SharePoint, but it uses a lot of the things in SharePoint, right, to make it easier for end users to really adopt it, not only adopt it, but want to work there. Like we have people that they want to come to work and they want to open Teams and start working in that manner, because it is a very natural feeling way of working, I think. And I think for me, me personally, I mean, I like the fact that there's a really rich mobile app as well experience, so that, you know, most of our people use the desktop app and a lot of folks are using the mobile app. I mean, I don't know many people that are using it via the website, but the majority are using the desktop app. But the mobile app is really rich, and it's almost instantaneous with when you receive a message or when you post something, you see it almost immediately in the desktop app. So I think the way it works is really kind of revolutionary in this type of space from Microsoft.
Agreed. Yeah, and to take a quick step back, I guess we should explain that when you create a new team in Office 365, what actually gets created is an Office 365 group and a SharePoint site collection, and then Teams is a conversation layer on top of all of that. So that's kind of what gets created for you whenever you create a new Teams team. And as you add channels to Teams, like the Slack comparison is kind of there too. So you can add additional channels to Teams. And each of those channels creates a folder in your document library in your SharePoint site collection, so that you can have different documents for each one of your channels. So just for people who've never used Teams before, to give a little more information there.
I think it's interesting, too, how they have integrated that ability to see those tabs in the mobile app, which isn't something I expected to see so quickly. I thought, oh, it'll give me the basic stuff. It'll give me the conversations. But actually, you can get in there if you've got a planner tab. You can get access to that from there. It looks like it's a lot of it's still launching in the browser, but the tabs are present. You can get to your stuff. So if you are using that mobile app, I guess I was pleasantly surprised to see all that functionality built in, as well as the push notifications, which I think are great. I think it's something that Skype for Business hasn't done as well. Someone pings you. I don't tend to see those messages pop up or push to me where I notice that someone's pinged me when Skype is on my phone. But team messages come over very quickly, and I really like that feature.
So what do you think is going to happen to a lot of the other technologies? Do you think, because people are confused in the whole sort of social space, should we be using Yammer? Yammer at one point looked like it was maybe going away, but it came back again. And you've got Skype and Skype for Business, and you've got, SharePoint team sites and Office 365 groups, whatever. How do you, in a company like yours, Rob, how do you actually educate people on what product should they use?
Man, you're going to put me on the spot right now on this. This is a big one. Well, it really is. So we're currently in the process of launching Office 365 globally, right? So we're launching it to all of our people. We have a very large SharePoint infrastructure on premises, and we're actually holding off on launching team sites for now in the cloud, and we're only launching Teams as an option to say, okay, let's launch Teams, let's see how that goes and learn from that, and then we'll launch team sites for things like more structured, rigidly structured content. That doesn't need to be as fluid. So we're actually launching it that way, to where we're using Teams first to begin with, and I think that's for us it's the best way, because it's kind of a baby step into the cloud, right? It exposes people to that type of technology, but still allows them to have their documents in the cloud wherever they are, and us not have to host any infrastructure for this stuff. Because we're using so many different types of technology, we are using the competitors to this, and we're using the competitors to Yammer, and we're really adopting a lot of different types of technology. But the way I see it here is I've done a lot of comparisons between Microsoft Teams and say Slack as an example. And if you just look at them at the conversational piece, right? So in Teams, you need to have an Office 365 account. Slack is kind of that freemium model where you can just log in and just be part of your Slack group. Slack does have an enterprise edition of what they are of an offering, for companies. But where Slack is currently really where it breaks apart, and Teams is really surpassing it on, is the integration with Office Online, right? So if I upload a document in Slack, I can view that document, but if I ever want to change that document, I have to download a copy, change it, and then re-upload another version to Slack. Now, you can integrate with Google Docs or the G Suite and all of that, but that's another account you have to hook in and log into and maintain security principles across Slack and Google. The thing I like about Teams, and I think we're really seeing a benefit of it, is that once you're logged into Teams, you're logged into Office 365. So the experience of uploading and editing documents is the same no matter whether you're in Teams or you're in SharePoint Online or even SharePoint on-premises. If you're looking at SharePoint 2013, Office Web Apps has a very similar experience, even though it's more rich in the cloud. It really breaks apart from the other competition, I guess, with that experience, with uploading documents and editing documents and the integrations with other pieces of Office 365.
So one of the things that we get when we tell clients about Teams is they get really concerned about sprawl. And I imagine that's got to be a big concern for you as well, Rob. What are you doing to help control people from just creating hundreds and hundreds and thousands of Teams? Are you putting controls in place to prevent that, or what are you guys doing?
Yeah, we are. We're putting some governance models in place. I mean, obviously, we have. So too much governance is a bad thing, right? We don't want to prevent people from using the product. And we did that. That was one of the mistakes we made with SharePoint 2013 was to get a SharePoint site to collaborate with a team, you have to take a certain amount of training, and you've got to go out there and become a site collection administrator. And, well, site collection administrators can only do this and this and this. And, okay, well, then now whatever, all that process, it ends up being like a 4 to 6 day process to get a site in SharePoint today. So we don't want that, but we also don't want this whole sprawl thing to happen. So we're putting in controls so that inactive sites kind of get archived and pushed away. And you can there's some workflows that we've got written in to where we're checking and you can say, you know, if your site's been inactive for a year, for example, you get an email, hey, would you like to keep this site or can we go ahead and archive it and delete it? And you can either say yes or no to keep it around for another year or have it deleted. So we're really doing a lot around that right now. It's not fully implemented, but we're that's kind of the plans for that.
So we had an interesting thing surface. You talk about governance a little bit. We had a customer who's trying this out, and of course they left it open. That's the default, is that anyone can create a new team. And that team had been named Yo Mama, something to that effect. And when you get that created, they had marked it a private group, but unbeknownst to them that group name, the back end of that is an email enabled distribution list. And so the your mama at company.com got published into that global address list. And
whoops.
Yeah. So they said, haha, this is funny, but what do we do, right? How do we prevent that? And so I think there's a lot to look at in terms of that life cycle and who can create it, like you said, but just knowing that by default, things are kind of pretty wide open, and those are things you need to go looking for so you can educate your end users and make sure they understand. Even if you market a private group, there's still certain pieces of that that others are going to see.
Mm. Just trying to think of some Yo Mama jokes now.
Yeah. Are you guys, I know Mark and Stephanie, since y'all work together, I mean, do you guys use it much?
We do. We actually use it fairly extensively, and we use it for several different ways. We use it to have a general way of communicating with the rest of our company. We also have a team set up for things like operations so that we can discuss things like employees and things that have happened and help us keep track of things that have happened with our employees. And we also have it for project management. And we've started actually creating teams for each of our customers so that we can start tracking the projects for that as well. So we use it really extensively.
Hmm. Yeah. What extensions are you using with these? And this is, I guess, more for all, everybody, I guess. I mean, are you using anything that integrates into it with the tabs that Stephanie was talking about?
So we tend to record a lot of the conversations that we might have in meetings and things like that. Just using a standard wiki is quite useful, or OneNote, sharing notes in there. Occasionally we've also used Excel as well. I've not used any PowerPoint, but I think that's one of your favorite tools of choice, right, Rob?
It is.
So I see. I know we're going to be talking about limitations a little bit later on, but I just saw from one of the posts that you made about you wanted somebody to check a file that you'd put inside a team site, and they'd gone and renamed it or something like that because they'd made some changes. Was that?
Yeah, that was me. That was one of the things that I've seen that happens a lot is that people seem to more often than not rename files and re-upload those to the team. And I don't know why, because if you click on the file that I send you a link to or that's in the chat, in the conversation, it'll take you right to the right file. But I'm seeing that people are seeming to going to either save as or just saving a different version of that. I don't know if that's a limitation or that's an education thing that we need to work on.
Sounds like a habit. Probably from using file systems, I would imagine. But
Yeah, because basically I said I was one of my colleagues in India. I had him working on a deck, and he was like, "Hey, I've got it done. You know, please go review." And I clicked on the file and nothing had been done. I was like, "Hey, what had happened?" And he said, "Oh, well, it's underscore V2 or whatever the file name underscore V2." So I went in and I was like, "Son of a bitch." So that's what happened. But I mean, like I said, I don't know if that's an education thing or you guys have encountered that as well.
I think it's an education thing. I think it's just old habits that people get into, and you really have to break them of that. That's what I think. Mm, mm. So some of the things that we use Teams for, like we're talking about, we use it for like project management, and the tabs that we use, we don't really use any of the connectors to other applications, but we love the website tab because it's a really great way to bring everything together into one team so you don't have to go to 50,000 places. Mm. So in our project management team, we've had an existing SharePoint site for our project management discussion or project management documents. And so we added a tab to our team site with that page that we go to all the time for project management. And we also added another tab for our project management tool that we use, which is, you know, not a Microsoft tool, so that we can go into that team and super quickly get to everything that we care about for working with projects and organization. And what I love about Teams is it actually does a good job about remembering credentials. I mean, like better than any tool I've ever used from Microsoft. So
I was going to ask that.
Whatever they did there.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how does it know who you are?
Well, it does prompt you to log in the first time, like a regular website. But like I said, it's just a really great job of remembering your credentials.
Hmm. You know, one thing that crossed my mind as well about it is when you do use the tabs. I mean, let's say you use the Excel tab or something. It's kind of a bit like going back to basics when SharePoint first came out. I mean, if we talk back to SharePoint 2003, for example, you get a blank Excel spreadsheet. And obviously, with SharePoint 2007 and onwards, we had content types and custom metadata and things like that. Are people going to be wanting the same functionality here, or do they want to keep it simple?
So we had a very, very interesting discussion about this. I was out at a customer site, and we were doing our deployment planning engagement that we do. And this whole topic came up because they said, well, has Microsoft just abandoned all of their information architecture and metadata and all of those things that are valuable when you're moving away from a file share? And now what happens? You've got all this sprawl within Teams and you can't tag anything. But then, we talked and reminded him that it is backed by SharePoint. But that Teams is really just providing a simplified view. So if you want all of those things, you still have a fully functional SharePoint site behind it. And I guess I'm kind of hopeful that some of that tagging and such that maybe we'll be able to surface some of that in Teams. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out at Ignite too.
Do you really think that's I want to see the story on this, but do you think Teams is the right place for that type of collaboration?
We also had that conversation about if it's very structured, and you mentioned this earlier, Rob, really structured information and maybe more published information, portals, intranet portals, SharePoint does a really good job for that. And you're using Teams for more collaborative environments, more dynamic, less structure, right? I think you had kind of referenced that's how you guys are using it.
Well, I mean, I think the difference for us between team sites and Teams, right? Team sites, we're still going to use them, right? And we have a lot of, specifically for our practitioners that are out serving our clients, right? We have a lot of very, I would say it's very structured sites so that we have a place with all of our project documentation and kind of the, hey, here's the kickoff document and all that stuff, kind of the template site for that. So we'll have a document library and it'll have 30 folders with all these different templates that a project team has to go fill out. to work with a client. So I still see us using team sites in that way, right? And I see a lot of people, this is not something uncommon, we're not doing anything special there, but I think that's more of a way that we're going to use team sites, whereas I see teams as something different, right? It could be something to where maybe it's in my world, maybe it's somebody that's going after a client, right? That says, hey, we're going to go try to pursue this business for client XYZ, and I need to quickly spin up some things to discuss. Okay, well, we need to meet with a client. Who's buying lunch and blah blah blah. You know, and discuss things, as well as put together some preliminary documentation. Maybe we have to do an RFI, right? Or you know, we have to fill out an RFI, and we have to maybe engage different people around the business to do that. Very much less structured than actually delivering a project, right? So I think we see it as two separate things and really not something that's going to clash. Now, the work that's done in a Teams site would eventually very likely get put into the project, the more formal project team site. So that's the way I see us, the future of us using it. Now, that could change at Ignite when they announce some new cool features or not, right? But I mean, that's just as it stands today, that's how I see it being different.
Yeah, and I think I agree for the most part, but like some of the things I've thought that we could use Teams for is like for your projects, like you were saying, like you spin up a lot of new projects that you need to collaborate on, but let's say you want to track issues for that specific project and you don't have formal project management in some other system. So it could make sense to create an issues list in that SharePoint Teams site and then add a tab for issues so that people can go through and log issues in that list. And then you can have some site collection somewhere else that aggregates using search and shows all your issues across all your projects.
I think I'd like to see a lot of tighter integration there between SharePoint and Teams as well. And almost taking it from a different angle, do you guys remember the document workspaces and meeting workspaces that we used to have? And they weren't that fantastic, but the idea was right. That, you know, you may create a document inside a SharePoint team site, and suddenly it's like, okay, well, this isn't really a document. We need somewhere to go and discuss this document and the creation of this document. So you would create a document workspace, and that would, you know, you could create that from within inside Word or from within inside Excel or whatever, using whatever it was called back then, the right-hand navigation pane inside the app. And then that would hook together the SharePoint team site and that document. And I wonder whether that's a way forwards for teams where it might not be obvious that you need a Teams site yet, you just working with SharePoint generally, but if you could spin it up and then somehow have that linked back to some content that's already there inside of SharePoint.
So I see that, right? And I think that would be a good direction. And I think that Microsoft has really split a lot of this stuff into, I'm just going to say, like, say three categories of collaboration tools, right? So you've got OneDrive, which is kind of where that, I think where you're talking about, Brett, where you have a document and you're working on it maybe with one or two people. Mm-hmm. And then you can maybe say, okay, hey, we need to really start building some momentum with this. So we need to add a lot more people. Let's move all this stuff into a Teams site, right? Let's go to Microsoft Teams and start collaborating there. And then obviously you've got Teams and somewhat similar team sites. But then maybe you will need to reach broader, right? And go out to Yammer and post a message and say, hey, we need to collaborate on a broader level, right? Maybe at a network level across your company network. I think there needs to be a better flow in going from OneDrive to Teams or team sites and into Yammer, right? And that's really where I'd like to see things moving to is that to where you can flow seamlessly through those things, because you can kind of do it today, but there's still a lot of manual work you got to do to make that transition from each, I guess, class of tool.
That makes sense. Now, you mentioned the word flow there. I don't know if that was meant to be the Microsoft flow, but is that maybe an option?
I don't know. I don't know. I was really just more towards the business workflow or business flow of the way things flow through a I guess a life cycle. But yeah, I don't know if flow would be the answer there or not. But I think there's going to be more I guess tighter integration with the tools themselves rather than having to create a flow to do all this stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think a lot of the tools are going off in different directions, and I think sometimes that's causing a confusion as to which one should we actually use. And I think that lack of external content types would maybe be one. You know, we get it, but we're in the sort of the tech bubble. There's a lot of users out there that say, well, should I be using a SharePoint team site for this, or should I create a Teams site?
Now somebody disagreed with me, or Brad, or somebody. I mean, we've agreed too much.
Well, I'm just going to throw this one out there if you want an argument. I love the way that you can share Teams with external users. That's just fantastic.
Yeah. That's called sarcasm, folks. Yeah, so that does bring us to the limitations of Teams, right? Because as crazy as it is, it does have some limitations. And one of those being that currently – you cannot share Teams with external users. But, you know...
Yeah, I would imagine that's coming. I mean, that's not... I mean, there's probably... I'm going to have to delete this, but it is coming. I don't know if that's in the
air. No, it's not. They've announced it's coming, that they're working on it.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, is that something you guys want? I'm not sure it's something I want.
Well, yeah, we absolutely do. Because we work with a lot of clients, and we would love to spin up a Teams team and be able to add our clients to it so we can have conversations about our project in Teams. That would be fantastic.
Edward Snowden wants this. He really wants this.
Well, I mean, so there's a lot of risk in that, right? Because if you leave it in the fact of the way it is now, right, that anybody can create a team, and then anybody then from then can add external members to that team. How do you manage that? I mean, not saying, I mean, I don't, you, nobody has the answer to that, right? But I'm just thinking from a risk perspective, right? I don't know that I want that.
Well, so what if, though, they're doing it anyway? What if they're going to Dropbox and doing it, and now you don't even have possession of the data because they've gone out and found another way to do it because they couldn't send it through email because they had a restriction on the size of the attachment or something like that? I mean, we have a customer who had Dropbox actually reach out to them and said, you have so many corporate accounts or corporate emails associated to Dropbox, you should create an enterprise corporate account with us. He had no idea that there were so many of his users doing that. And all of that data is stuff that they, you know, they don't have any control over. And bringing that into something like Teams or Groups or something like that, where at least it's under your Office 365 login. And when you turn that off, then they no longer have access to it. So
I get that. But when people are externally sharing a site in SharePoint and other users don't know that they've externally shared that site, then, you know, we're talking about different sets of users putting content in that site, sharing potentially information that shouldn't go outside of the four walls or whatever, and it can then be browsed by external users.
But that's no different than external sharing on SharePoint sites today, right? So it's
that's what I'm talking about.
So it comes down to governance, right? And it comes down to putting policies in place that you cannot share this site with external users, or, you know, make it like isn't SharePoint Online where you can actually configure it to be externally shareable or not. So, I mean, you can put controls in place.
The problem is there in SharePoint today and you know, is going to be another avenue for people sharing that content externally. It could be a big issue, and there's no way to know really who's shared what.
Well, so there is some new functionality there too in the new modern sites. What I noticed is that in the site analytics area, they've done some improvements there, and there's actually a shared externally list where you can see all the shared files and folders that have been shared outside of the organization. So they're starting to make that more visible. And again, that was in a modern team site under site analytics. So I'm not sure how that would relate to something like a team or group. But I think they're definitely, you know, Microsoft's definitely looking to start making that a little more accessible.
I think they're going to have to, because, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, Stephanie, is that people are going, if they can't do something in whatever your service you're providing, they're going out to their phone and they're going to the app store and they're downloading a tool that will let them, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're seeing, that just tremendously across our organization, is that people are just downloading whatever the latest fad app is. And, you know, even though we've got policies and, you know, things against that, and for the most part, they don't share with clients or whatever, but they do, and they don't share client data in there, but the ability is there to be able to go out and download the latest tool and do whatever they can with it. And that introduces a whole lot of risk. So I guess in that respect, I think it's good that they're going down that path of offering this external stuff. I just don't know. I don't know what we're going to do with it.
I think it's good that they're going down it, but as long as you have that control of knowing exactly who can see the content.
Yeah. And it gets crazy once you get into other countries, right? So especially you get into Europe and you have European firms, European people uploading data. What data is that? Does it contain personal information? Blah, blah, blah. You know, where is it going? You have to do a lot of, as you span across the globe, you have to do a lot of due diligence to make sure that everybody understands the risk of where their data is being stored and what you can and can't upload there.
Agreed. I was hoping we'd disagree more than we have been.
I tried really hard.
So another limitation of Teams that we hear from a lot of clients is that you can't put security on channels. That once you create a team and give people access and create channels, every user has access to all those channels, and you can't remove users from that. So I hope that's something that they look at and change.
I don't. Yep. I have mixed feelings about that too. I just think about the sprawl and getting down into the nitty gritty management of that kind of feels like managing folders. You know, and we tell them, you know, it's best if you can keep your security in a SharePoint site to the site and not down to the individual folders. And that's kind of what this feels like. So I'm a little torn on that, just because I think this is a power user tool and we want them to be able to easily manage their security on who's added to that team. So I don't know. I'm a little torn on the channel. That breaking it down that far is hard.
Yeah, but
so you can do that in Slack.
Yes.
You can do that in Slack. So my thoughts are that if you can do it in Slack today, I'll bet it's coming soon.
That's probably a safe bet.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is actually something we're hearing from a lot of our people that they do want, is that they want the ability to secure channels, right? Where you might have, maybe you've got a channel for your marketing team and your sales team or whatever, but you might have like a leadership team channel to where in your team that only the leadership team of your, you know, of your project team can see. And that has things like, I don't know, it could be things like contractor rates or budgets or whatever that you don't want the rest of the team to be able to see. And I think that would be a good feature to have.
Definitely. Well, and then you think about, you know, companies like your company, Rob, you said you have 400,000 users. And there is a limit.
About 300,000.
Yeah, but there is a limit to the number of site collections you can create. I mean, it's a big number. It's 500,000. But if you're creating a new site collection with every team and you have a company that large, you have a real possibility of hitting that limit someday when all you need is a new channel.
Yep, that's right.
I think though too, the life cycle with that channel needs to come with it. If, you know, getting into that level of management, because I think right now, you know, it's pretty difficult to, in terms of backups and things like that. Like, you're not able to backup and restore an individual channel, and so you know, you get into the security at that level. I don't know. I think it just adds another level of complication that we're just not there yet. You know, it's pretty new. Teams is new. You know, I guess it'll be interesting to see where they take all of this.
I'm just complaining about what I want. I don't have the solutions. So one of the things that you talked about, Rob, is you really wanted more of an integrated ability to go from OneDrive to Teams to Yammer. And so one of the cool things about Teams that we've played with a little bit, but not much, are this concept of bots and AI in Teams. Have you played with that at all?
I have. Yep. I've actually been playing a lot with that this week. doing a lot of the AI with the Lewis natural language processing stuff, and it's absolutely fascinating.
So you could theoretically create a bot then that could kind of bridge that gap between your different applications, right?
Yeah, I guess you could. It's I don't know. You could, but I don't want to have to do that, right? I don't want to have to spend money and resources creating a bot to help move things between this whole platform. I mean, you can create custom code to do whatever you wanted, right? And that's great. And I think it's a wonderful platform that they've created that you can do things like that with the extensions and the bots. I don't think that should be my job, because I can't be the only person that wants that type of seamless flow through the product.
Yeah, but they could give us an easy interface to create bots, like maybe some sort of something like Power Apps or Flow that could create bots for teams. Like one of the ways I could see that being used, like you said, you have your project stored, your project management taking place somewhere else, but you have a project team site where people are talking, and someone could be talking and saying, "Hey, I have an issue with widget X." Well, that bot could fire up and say, "Hey, I see you're having an issue. Would you like to log an issue in the project management application?" And then walk them through the process of creating that. And now you've got that issue logged in your PM site. So that would be a cool feature to help you track a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, they're actually getting really advanced with a lot of their bot stuff. Have you guys seen the Q&A Maker API?
No.
On Cognitive Services, it's actually a way to create a bot, really easily create a bot. You take a facts page, a frequently asked questions page, and you feed it into this Q&A maker, and it basically creates a bot that you can ask questions, and it'll respond with answers from the Q&A from the fact, right? And I think stuff like that is going to make things a lot more seamless to create bots. I just don't know if they're going to go as far as the integration, full integration with pushing stuff across. Because, I mean, you think about it. In OneDrive, really, you're only dealing with documents, right? As you transition into Teams and team sites, you've got site collections and document libraries and things like that. Then, once again, as you transition into Yammer, you've got something else entirely, right? And so that's the type of flow I want to see a little more seamless, right? Is that type of thing. And I think it will be very complex to do. I don't think it's something that will be done in the short term. But I think that's where I'd like to see it going. It's where it has to go, to be honest.
Well, I'd like to disagree with you, but again, I can't. So, yeah.
Come on.
I'm trying.
Yeah. Have we covered some good ground here on Teams? I mean, what are you guys? Do you guys have anything you want to close with?
I think there's a couple of things that we need to mention about backups and also being able to find this content as well. So, yeah, how does the findability work in SharePoint? You've got search and you've got the sort of natural navigation. How are you finding that in Teams?
So the thing I love about Teams is that I'm not constantly going through searching for things, right? Mm-hmm. Teams is kind of, it's very conversational, right, the way I've been using it. And it's got a nice little alerts feature on it it's an activity log. So as people at mention me and as things happen around me, somebody replies to one of my threads or whatever, I get an alert in the activity log and I can jump right to that. So for me, that's how I'm actually finding things. It's more things that's relevant to me now rather than things I need to go look at from 3 weeks ago or whatever.
And do you even see that content as something that you should back up or maybe not?
I mean, yeah, I guess. I don't know. That's part of – I feel that's what I'm paying Microsoft to do.
I was sitting with a legal team yesterday, and I was showing them Teams, and they all looked at each other, and they said, "Oh, that's discoverable." So they don't want it stored. They want to be able to get rid of it. So –
yeah, legal teams do not like this.
So it's temporary content as far as you're concerned. It's if you want to make it permanent, then that's perhaps when you move it into SharePoint or OneDrive or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's
I think
right.
That's fair too.
So the capability does exist to back it up, though. I know there's at least a couple vendors out there, AffPoint being one, that they can go out and back up the groups and teams. But I think there's some pretty strong limitations there in terms of what you can restore, because you can back up with the base content behind it, like the SharePoint content, but you're not going to get the conversation back. For example, I guess the APIs aren't even available yet. So like you said, just to set an expectation, you can't back it up right now. That's my understanding. It's not even possible, even if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, I'll look at that as well as that should be part of the service, right? If I delete something and I need it restored, I should be able to call Microsoft and have them restore it, right? I should be able to raise a service ticket with the admin center and have that just happen. I mean, that's part of the reason I don't want to host this stuff on premises anymore, because I don't, you know, that's part of paying for a service, is that you get that type of service with it.
That makes a lot of sense.
I think you're wrong.
Old habits die hard, though. I think a lot of folks still have that need to, like, I want to control it. I need to know where my data is, that sort of thing. So I think we're still fighting old habits there and feeling like I'm not responsible if I don't back up my stuff, right?
Right, right, right.
And I'm just going to disagree because I'm sick of agreeing with you, so I think you're wrong.
So Mark, as the JavaScript developer, what about an API? I mean, is this thing extensible? You talked about writing code and so on. Is there an API in the true sense of the word where you can go through and create solutions for teams?
Well, you know, on the back side, it is just a SharePoint site. So you do have those same APIs there. You do actually have to enable scripting through PowerShell, though. And it's still in the early stages. So the last time I played with it to try to dig in there, it was giving me some fits. But, you know, I do hope that they do have an API that goes into maybe the Office Graph, so that that's just part, you know, with some functionality in there specific to Teams. I expect that to come. I mean, because I think they're going to want to surface a lot of this stuff in Delve even, right? I mean, it's got to be coming.
Do you see integrations being, or I guess customizations being more integrations or actually enhancing the Teams product itself?
Great question. And from my experience, it's usually enhancements, right? It's something that's not quite right, and how can we enhance it and make it exactly what we need? So if it's going to be anything like we've seen before, it would be enhancements. But then to your point about how you want it more integrated into things, this could be a really great way to integrate it with other solutions if they get a nice API behind it.
Yeah, see, I'm going to say disagree here. but I really think the future of this stuff is not enhancing the product itself. I think it's more integration with, well, it could be an on-premises system. It could be anything, right? It could be anything else that you want to bring into the context of Teams rather than enhancing what Teams does, right? Let Teams do what it does best and then bring other tools in with integrations to make
it better. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying historically when people are asking for customizations, it's generally enhancements. But you're right. What's there to really enhance with Teams?
Well, right. It's the same with OneDrive, right? You can enhance OneDrive. There's no development aspect of it. You can't do anything to it. You can't brand it. You can't do anything. Well, I guess you can sort of brand it, but you can't really do anything like you could in the past. And I see the same here, is that you're not going to be able to brand Teams, because Teams is an app, right? I don't brand Microsoft Word. I don't change the way Excel looks and feels. That's just the tool, right? And I see Teams as a very similar type of experience.
Hold my beer. Let me try.
I agree with your disagreement. I mean, one of the things I was thinking about was extending it through different types of tabs and so on that you might want to create. Whether that's something that maybe might be on the horizon, but.
All right. Well, I think that's all we have for you guys today. I think we've had a really good conversation on Teams. As always, would love to hear from you guys on your thoughts. And Mark, what was that email address again? info@techsplaining.com. Did I get that right?
No, you totally screwed it up. No. It's info@techsplaining.net. It's also mark@techsplaining.net, stephanie@techsplaining.net, and likewise Rob and then Brett. So our first names at techsplaining.net.
Thank you for that. All right. Sure. Well, thanks, guys, for joining on a Friday. And thanks to all who are listening. And we'll be back here again soon.